www.ca.org.
I cannot wait for the Halloween party next week. You're listening to Booked. My name is Gavin Dahl, and my next guest is Megan Tackett, who Katie and Kay listeners know well from her time hosting Everything Under the Sun when she was a reporter for the Soper Sun here in Carbondale, as well as hosting the arts program Express Yourself and Friday, All Things Considered. Since then, Megan got a big job opportunity at the Aspen Daily News. Thanks for coming in, Megan.
Thanks so much for having me, Gavin. I miss it in here.
Yeah. Let me start by asking you about the unique new gig you have covering courts and crime. Is this the most time you've ever spent inside courtrooms?
Thankfully, I can say yes. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah, I always joke with people that I feel like I'm getting a criminal law degree via osmosis. It's much cheaper than law school, so it scratches a lot of academic curiosities for me, for sure.
So where's the action happening? It seems like you report from both Aspen and Glenwood Springs pretty frequently. What are the unique beats you cover? Which jurisdiction is which?
I definitely spend most of my time in Picken County. Mm-hmm. And I spend most of my time in district court. So district court basically is dealing with your felonies. County court are your misdemeanors. And so more time in county court during off season. but I usually spend my time in district court covering the felony cases in Aspen. I occasionally find myself down in Garfield County Court when it's something big, right? The choir director from Basalt High School, the former choir director, for instance, when those allegations cropped up, that definitely was, okay, I'm going to be spending a little bit of time in Garfield County Court. When I actually didn't find myself in the courtroom for this, but when Garfield County, did its biggest found its biggest drug bust in its history, I believe, with near 100 pounds of meth, right, found in a minivan complete with the stick figure family on the back windshield, that would be something that pops up on my radars. But usually I'm up in Picken County.
And you've covered a lot of stories in the months that you've been with the Daily News, from repeat DUI offenders and other traffic stuff to drug possession, distribution, these big seizures, and even some darker stuff. What have you learned during this time doing this kind of reporting?
That I think, anyway, what I've learned is education and compassion as possible is just as important as reporting, the bullet point, this happened, then this happened, then this happened. I think that our criminal justice system in particular can be very opaque for the layman. I know I certainly find myself making phone calls to friends in the legal system just for background and clarification a lot.
Like you said, you're getting a de facto law
right?
degree in your work.
Right. And so if I'm having those questions, I find that my readers are probably going to have those questions as well. And, what to cover and when maybe you can paraphrase something instead of just quoting something directly, or when you absolutely should quote something directly, and when to not shy away from a topic. For instance, when I first started, I was told verbatim that there was sort of a tacit gentleman's agreement among some of the media of Valley that you don't really cover domestic violence. And of course, you don't want to re-traumatize a victim. And I ended up doing an entire article to that effect and just speaking to some of the nonprofits and resources in this valley, because it's a learning curve for everybody. But at the same time, by not talking about it, then nobody really understands the implications. And when a domestic violence case does go to trial, like what I just covered last week, there's not a lot of education and public awareness about something. And it was described to me on background, there's a difference between hearing something for the first time in a courtroom in the context of serving on a jury versus having already internalized something as a truth because there's been a public awareness campaign about it and that education has happened and you have an understanding of how things happen. When would bruising appear? When would bruising not appear? Does one invalidate the circumstances or not? And so those are the kinds of things that I've never had to think about before. Before this job, DV meant Down Valley, not domestic violence.
Well, and also there are a lot of rules in terms of not just sort of gentleman agreements, but not just AP style book, but things like when to name a victim or when to name an underage accused, you know, someone, yes, someone who's been accused. So what are some of those guardrails that you've been more aware of in this role?
Sure. Well, for one, I had a really sensitive case come up. And it was hard when I said I wrote an article about the resources and education around some of those stuff. It was because there was an underage victim who had, in a lot of ways, by a classic journalist's perspective, had become a bit of a public figure. Had I self-identified in her school newspaper, in the Aspen Times, on YouTube. I mean, if you Google this person, that those are the first things that come up. And very, very empowered voice. Very, you know,
outspoken.
Yeah, outspoken. Very empowered voice. And I had made attempts to contact this person. I spoke with people that had been directly working with her very closely in the case. Asked, hey, this is my idea. I think that, you know, normally you would never name a victim, but if the victim is outspoken, then give the victim the last word. And I was encouraged, like, you would not believe, like, yes, this is going to be great. But I wasn't able to get a hold of that victim. We made a tough call, and the victim was really upset afterward. And so, you know, I spoke with her and was obviously incredibly upset and sorry, and because it's the opposite of what my intentions were. And per her request, we decided to use it as an education opportunity and reached out to Riverbridge down in Glenwood and spoke with the executive director there and response in Aspen and just had that really hard conversation of how do you make those calls? And it became a conversation of re-traumatization, excuse me, and a victim's mentality. And it was really, I think that it served a very good purpose to that broader education, not only for me personally, but also for readers. I got a lot of response from that article. So those are the kinds of things that, you know, sometimes you have to own, like, hey, we made a tough call and it wasn't received the way we intended. So how do we move forward in a way that seems responsible and, you know, that journalistic integrity in those questions? And to pretend it didn't happen kind of cheapens the lesson, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I have to just share for a minute here. The biggest mistake I've made since I got to KD&K, I was covering a debate that was going on at Carbondale Town Council. I stayed late for a late meeting. I stayed after and interviewed people who had spoken publicly. And this was after there had been an attack on a woman in Carbondale, and there was some controversy around a council person saying that this isn't a problem here. Mm-hmm. And several women in the community saying, how dare you? You know, I think the comments from the elected official were meant to say, you know, hey, looking at the data, this isn't a very widespread problem. Right. But for women who've experienced violence or rape, to be told, shush, sort of, which again wasn't the intention, but was how, mm-hmm, it felt, was so upsetting that these particular women were really excited that I was sticking around, that I was interviewing them, that I was getting this information. I came back to the station, worked for hours to edit down my audio, got it all ready to go, ran the story the next morning, and then immediately got a call, and I had mixed up two names. And so in my story, I reported that a woman who had not ever been sexually assaulted was the one who told me that she had been. Literally the most awful, embarrassing, terrible mistake I've ever made in my entire time in 20 years in the media. And a simple mistake. They knew I meant well. I certainly didn't do it on purpose. And so we immediately corrected the story, took it down, you know, put it back up. But I think that one of the things that you and I are learning as, you know, sort of the next generation now of reporters is, or I guess, you know, now I'm the manager, but you know what I mean? that if we make a mistake and we own it and we correct it, that hopefully the audience or the person affected by that will be able to build their trust. And I think in this case, the person who I mistakenly reported had been assaulted, which is just the most embarrassing mistake. She was like, well, I'm going to smack you, but I owe you a smack, but I really appreciate that you did the story and I know it was a mistake. So, but I mean, it's so important for us to take responsibility when we do make mistakes, because we're human too, but it matters. It's not, you know, it's a different kind of mistake than just in business or something.
Definitely. Definitely. I remember not in this past year's Colorado Press Association convention, but the prior year, I embarrassingly don't remember the gentleman's name, but he was a Pulitzer Prize winner and he was talking about his mistakes. But the takeaway, he said, you know, you will never lose credibility for running a correction, mm-hmm. but you will lose it all for not doing so.
Yeah.
And I really internalize that.
Talking to Megan Tackett, reporter for Aspen Daily News, you had a chance to interview one of the Lake Christine fire starters. What was that experience like? What did you find out?
Oh, man. You know, I am a people person, and I normally am not nervous before an interview, even if it's a contentious topic. You know, I think if you can just meet people where they are, I was nervous about that one because I had learned where he was doing his community service and was just going to paparazzi style show up and be like, hey, how's your morning going? Can I change it? And, you know, this is an incredibly public thing that happened that impacted our entire community. And I couldn't imagine having a piece of my story, such a bad, like public, like just negative, bad thing that happened, just constantly make the media and never ever include my voice. And I kind of felt like that's what was happening to these two people. And as you can imagine, he was incredibly trepidatious and incredibly nervous to talk to me because, you know, he told me he doesn't even read the newspapers anymore because he has to kind of protect himself. But we went and had a cup of coffee and he slowly opened up and we had a conversation, and he's a person just like everybody else is a person, and he's paying his debt to society. And you can imagine, I actually was really impressed. The internet, the voices of the internet, some of the comments on that article, as you can imagine, were pretty scathing and very unforgiving. And why did you even do this and continue to give them a platform, et cetera, et cetera. But then somebody came in and shut it down and really wrote a very well thought out, I thought very eloquent message. And she said, I never comment on news stories, but I hope this kid does read this because, you know, you are deserving of kindness. You are deserving of another chance. And this wasn't intentional. And thank goodness, I can't even imagine the losses for the people who lost the property, but thank goodness nothing worse happened.
Well, and that's due to some heroic firefighting, among other things. So many stories you've reported this past week. One of them was Tuesday's Picken County Commissioner meeting. We just have about 2 minutes. Sheriff Joe DeSalvo asked for funding for 8 new deputies for 2020, but he has to settle for 3, as you reported. What is the sheriff saying will happen due to his inability to keep up with demand for service?
Well, he's very clear that right now he's the yes man. He doesn't want any kind of repercussions, but the demands for service are increasing, and there are certain statutory responsibilities that the office, the department has to respond to, but there are others that don't. So for instance, vacation properties. You go out on vacation or you have a part-time property that you only spend part of the year, and you can register with the sheriff's department. They'll go by a couple times a week and just check out your property and make sure that nothing nefarious is going on. X Games, dignitary visits, things of that nature. He said that if something isn't done, there's not enough people. It's not a matter of money. It's a matter of hours. And you've got to maintain morale and give people an opportunity to take time off, too.
And talk about why Picken County isn't just handing the sheriff the funds he's requesting carte blanche. How does the sheriff's department budget fit into the overall public safety budget as proposed for 2020?
Sure. So right now, everybody is bracing for some sort of economic correction. And so it is a very, very conservative budget. And the commissioners made clear that they do support the request. They're just not in a position to give him everything right now. It'll be on a case by case rolling out over the next 3 to 5 years situation, because right now things are booming, but we can't guarantee that. So nobody wants to sign a check without the funds.
And so sheriff's budget and then the detention center, kind of the top two items in that safety budget.
Yes.
Well, we're out of time. Megan Tackett, Aspen Daily News, thank you so much for coming back to Katie and Kay on a Thursday.
Thanks so much. I know it's so nostalgic. I love it.
I also want to mention, for full disclosure to listeners, that Katie and Kay Radio broadcasts on 9 FM frequencies, 5 of which are held and operated by Picken County, which they allow Katie and Kay to use. Also, Katie and Kay receives funds from the county's Healthy Community Fund each year. So just wanted to mention that as we talk about money in Picken County. Really great to have you in, and let's do this more often.
Yes, please.
And hopefully you'll only be in court for your job.
Yes.
Moving forward. Again.
Yes, fingers crossed.
And stay tuned, folks. Valley Voices is up next on Katie and Kay.